still working on that.
I'm a bit...
I'm a bit nasally, because even though this doesn't feel like spring, my body thinks it is. So let's just start with Magnolia. Were we young? Or old, that moment when the apple fell from your hands and skipped down my ribs, peeling like magnolia? Your fingers waltzed down after it, as easy as descending stairs, as slowly as counting back from 24. If you catch it in time, will you take yet another bite from it? Or will I suffer another lost rib after you promise never to steal my bones? Returning to poetry. How will you find me? Will you send a single flare up in the pitch black sky when you're up to your eyes in it? What's the word for it? You know, I don't. I knew you'd come around here again. You always do. Don't act like that. I haven't noticed your sideways glances at me. Your late night secret pleasures. Your pen craving the sheet. So don't be coy. It was you who said in his romantic period, a poem comes to place where poetry replaces the items the world has chosen to forget. But how hard must you shake me out till my meaning breaks the bone of reason, and you can go home finally, where you'll climb the gate, carefully not to bang it in case you wake the dogs, climb the never-ending stairs, and lie on the side of the bed I've been keeping warm for years. And tell me, do you recall the word, the one where you can come back to me, make the full return, and find out reality where the form has yet to become? I really liked the magazine Word Legs. It's no longer around, but it was really, really, really kind of interesting, really kind of good showcase for a lot of young emerging talent. And I was glad to be in one of the issues, and this is my poem that was First Glance. At first glance, they took their time, slowly as two shy ghosts. They reassured themselves with a look, a glance at what the other was doing. They don't want to make mistakes like all the time before. So they stare, wishing for the other to act first. He moved first. He was hoping that he was moving towards her, like all those classes his mother made him go to as a young child. She waited, as he came closer and closer. She was fantasizing that he was a big-chested protagonist from all her chicklets she had read and learned to live in. She still wasn't disappointed when the scrawny pigeon-chested boy asked her for her hand to dance. And with a smile at last glance, she simply put her hand into his, and they danced, almost like real people do. Another dancing poem. Last call. I wonder if there's some time between our last dance and the last call to do something different. Press my hand into the small of your back. Tease your neck with my fingernail. Or just perhaps some words into your ear. Something more spectacular than now. So when you look back on this night, you can tell me how young the night was, how young we were. The musicians themselves would have stopped for us for just a moment, as you did some meaningless thing like taking your heels off. And you would scream how the night was yours, how I was ours. But when the last call was rang, there was no band to pause for us. No screaming, just you and I dancing apart. And for the first time in any song played for us, the night would remain young, as we would get so much older. The phone booth. You can call it a fifth wall if you want, or an investment, a dime to aircon, or you can call it a portal between us. Two ways another wormhole about it. The strapline was unused, unwanted, but still he called, saying you can see me here, in your ear, an elegance and ubiquity about it. Floor glass, four glass walls, and you were all that matters now. I could have seen you dancing outside these four walls. I was not holding the phone, I was holding your hands. As we walked, the operator was the usher. I tipped him to play our song, the one where we had our first kiss. And I wasn't alone with this thought. I could still hear you in my ear, guiding me. You were always sure of the soul, and the operator had returned by now, this time as God. And as he spoke, he shattered all we knew as reality. That'll be 80 cents more for the next 3 minutes. I scrounged for the rest of my change, and just like telepathy, returned back to you. Snow globe. We'll never have it like we used to. Not like New York in this snow globe. The twin towers in my hand climb high above, like our fingers then touching and painting the skies. And like the towers themselves, our fingers have fallen. Now, down like the petals in this world. If I could live in here, all I would hear is the sound of flames waiting to crash insane around me. Like now, as I wait for you to snap and burn all the snow any globe I give to you offer. It's getting a bit dark, so we don't lie to you. This is actually two sets of poems that kind of work together. And the first poem was inspired by a tweet by a Cork poet, Victoria Kennefic. We are chocolates in God's pockets. It's delightful, isn't it? Living. Was it you who got up this morning to chop wood? The one who takes the train to work? An obedient rider who takes the time to write another few words, to play the few notes of the piano? Was it you who told me we were chocolates in God's pockets? Wherever I was when I woke, I was there with you, where priests feed bread to the swans of Lear, where the wind blows through the bells and reeds, and makes us all human. Bird takes the time to sing in this moment in a minor key, or any key that God only knows. Noah to his wife. Tell me, darling, when you jumped out of the lion's den and onto my ship, how did you know I was right? How did you know that I was not the preaching beggar? That I was not the world's first boy to cry wolf? Will history look back on you as the first woman to jump into the madness of humanity? Did you fall for love? Or did you look inside me and saw for the first time our history, my will and nothing of God? Tell me, darling, after the lions had tucked themselves into bed, when the last of the fireflies flickered out and the mice scurried in love around the bow, what did you see in me that night above the deck, after all the animals hushed themselves to listen? Tell me, darling, does the sun seem a little brighter today? The next poem is called The Grey Shawl, which is, do you ever have the friend who's forgetful and leaves an item of clothing and then you go to retrieve it and they never ask for it back? And then that item plagues your life because of the responsibility. And especially because the item was dirty. I wanted to wash it, but I was scared of washing it. So I wrote a poem for it. It's better than there. The Grey Shawl. I'm still resting on the dresser of some friend of yours, unstirred like a mouse. I don't move for him, except when I fall like wet tissue to the floor. I'm always falling these days. I've been hollow since you filled me last. I dream of being a kimono. So when I fall, I can fall like a snow or an altar cloth on you and embrace you like some boy you like. Miss my own arms when they were wet from you crying and your lips as you bit some rogue piece of tread from my stubble. Most of all, I miss your shape being my shape. But either way, I'm still wrestling on some dresser of some friend of yours. I've fallen you again soon. As you can tell, I'm young. And I've always had an old head on me. And it's kind of, I try to write a funny poem about how much people hate aging, but I don't really care. Maybe that's because I'm young, or maybe because I'm weird. But I just thought how funny it would be if we had a kind of quarter-life crisis teenager worrying about, I don't know, leaving school and things like that. So this is called Leaving Adolescence, a quarter-life crisis poem. It starts with the school tie not being the only one in the wardrobe. It being among the blues and reds, there only to impress future employers. The children books still hang on the wall. Having to wear glasses now to read their names. The spines have long forgotten the touch of your hand. Unlike the pillows, which like a tap you insist to keep neat as ever. Long since it was debris or foundation, some large fort only a child could imagine. You can't even count the years on your fingers since some hated relative pinched your cheek and told you how cute you were. And even now, as you throw away the school notes, the some exam you long forgot the result to, a stack of bills for an adult that shares your name gets higher and higher on your desk. This poem's for a friend of mine. I'm sure you're all aware of response poems and things like that. You know, the kind of style of sharing the title and then having after the poet. And this is kind of having a Coke with you after Frank O'Hara, my kind of take on it. Having a Coke with you is even more fun than staying in the shitty wet Limerick house in the almost flooded month of November. But if we were to reach in our pockets, though, and throw out some change, we can turn up the central heating. And then imagine we were somewhere more exotic than here. Perhaps France, where our cokes are fine wines, where the rain beating off the window is some noise that the new and up-and-coming jazz band are making with a jar of marbles, the ones you hardly ever use. And even now, as you evaluate the Maginot line of the waiter, I interrupt you to show that on your coke is your name, but on mine is the name Michelle, which we can only presume is the waiter, as he comes ever so much closer with a bottle of Merlot wine. The next set of poems are kind of a series of poems I've been writing lately about a single father with kids who believes he's a planet. Planet Mars, to be exact. And he's fallen in love with a woman who believes is planet Venus. These are his kind of love poems to her. Five of them, to be exact. And they're quite short, but he kind of thinks he's a planet, so all that imagery is in there. Orbit. Be the knife and I'll bleed out the union slowly from the sap of the tree. Be the stamp and I will be the glue. Impress me into your convention. Let's tiptoe around our orbit and defy our gravity for once. Let's climb the strings of our masters and sever them off. We can dance against the sun if we want to and laugh at smaller gods. In some way we're worlds apart, but we've just entered each other's orbit. Time. Some say I will take closer to Earth. but no one has the time of day for me. Not a soul is king here. Everyone must feel so small, like dust in a vacuum. I'm a rumor, they say. I never thought a rumor would ruin my modesty, but in honesty, I'll never control my time. Could Cupid sling the arrow so far to cut the apple of tranquility? Skins. They are my moons, you say. And often I feel like they are. I've accepted anything as ill these days. I often curl up in bed and complain about the lack of rain. It's been a drought for years, and you still haven't left me. You are part of me now. Our sun fills the creases in your duvet. Your body fills the furniture of the room. The kids outside play with conkers, and we play with asteroids. We make craters in our skin, and we fill them with each other. Dancer. Your movement is wrong. I've been watching you for years. You could have been a dancer, but you are too slow, delicate on the axis. Let's pretend we are moons and fly across your atmosphere. Even better, let's be full moons and stay up all night, learning what we are and have left to discover. I will deny Earth's invitation and reach for you. You can pull my strings with your lights. You can point out the audience of stars and remind us that tomorrow we will be dancers. Stories. Will you tell the stones your stories and inure yourself to what has been? Now that you've been grounded, that they are all you have left, it seems. And how do you feel about such things? You always lingered in the clouds telling those stories. It'd be wrong of me to pull you down to earth. So let's talk of smaller things. My love, are you ready for tea? Don't worry about anything right now. Tonight, we speak of simplicity. And this will be the last one. I'd also like to thank Paul Casey and everyone at Wales for having me on. I'm delighted to come up. Why do we always come here? Do you wear glasses to hide something? Is that why you're not giving me any? Sitting there on the porch, making paper guns and firing at me. I'd be lying if I said the sight of you falling away was something I could live with. Is that a sin? Is that why we always come here? For the aim of throwing daggers and forgetting about how much we hate the rain. Perhaps in the morning, if you're up for it, we could stroll at our beach and watch how our sand footprints have turned to bullet holes. Our past wars hung up like a talking wounded. And while you're on the beach, you can tell me how much you love the sun. Can I forgive you if you've forgotten what you're sorry for? Is that why they call it making peace? Should we make whatever we can with the leftover pieces? Is that why we always come here? To remind us what silence is? Should I say nothing? And wonder why we came for this route? That our battles are fought with eyes. Now, jumping across the tables like wooden trenches. Going for the neck. Slashing tires of cars we long lost the keys of. Would our mutinies ever settle? Could you learn to watch a sinking ship and just let it be? Is that why we always come here and stay and never leave? Are we always to watch how the band play our song, hum the few words we know, and always forget that this ship is sliding into the ocean? Will we always be asking the question of why? Should I leave when you have some of each other left? Or should I say something meaninglessly like I love you, and take all of your apologies. Some ways, the words of this holiday are the hardest prayer to swallow. Thank you.
I'd like to make some space for our next poet to make her way up while I'm reading out the introduction.